Being an islander is an interesting situation. Our own speck of land is insubstantial as islands go, and it houses such prodigious numbers of humanity that it isn't hard to imagine it's the centre of life. Intellectually, we may know otherwise, but in the mysterious heart of our inner being, it's an assumption which I, for one, must confess to making from time to time. I sometimes try and picture what the Romans must have felt, standing in the endless wind on Cap Grisnez, gazing at the glimmering cliffs away to the north. Rumours of British tribes would have filtered across. Cultured in a wild Celtic sort of way, but as foreign to the citizens of the Empire as men in the moon. There was more than a grain of truth in this proposition in those days. In some ways there still is, but every now and again something happens to convince my English soul that, viewed from a different angle, we are never far apart and we never will be. Take last summer, for instance. My wife and I were chilling out, running the tides and cruising some of our favourite North Brittany haunts. As usual, we'd stopped over in St. Quay Pontrier, not for its delights as a venue, but because it's one of the few all-tide harbours in the bays of St. Malo and St. Brieuc. We'd make do with a night in this highly professional port, and afterwards plan the tides for a drying haven of our choice. We left the marina at dawn, ghosted across the big bight of roof-strewn sea, and arrived off Dawet just before Saturday lunch. Once inside the sheltering breakwaters of natural rock, only revealed at low water, my gaff cutter received a surprising greeting from an ecstatic harbour master. "You are here for the festival, monsieur." I'd never heard of any festival, but always one for a party, I asked for further details. It proved to be the 20th anniversary of the opening of the tiny sill-locked marina, and also of the launching of the town lugger. The event ran for 2 days and included the usual fun, free booze, fellowship and fireworks. All we had to do was sit tight in the plum berth to which we were ushered, and a good time was, we were assured, guaranteed. "Of course, for you, there is no charge." "What, you mean nothing to pay?" This was not the sort of official I was used to meeting on my own side of the channel, where all too many grab their calculators to see how much extra they can screw out of me for my bowsprit. "To have so beautiful a boat in our port is a privilege," he replied simply. This promising start was well fulfilled. That night we ate sardines on the quay with the harbour master and his wife, the fishermen, and the Parisians who were making the most of the local colour. The squeeze boxes wheezed, the dancers twirled, and one bottle led to another, as they do. But by sun-up I was back in basic working order. As I went on deck to tuck into my crescent and drink my coffee, I met our neighbour, a powerfully built local with a large sailing yacht. He'd brought a gigantic bouquet down, which he set carefully on his coach roof. "This morning," he answered my unspoken question, "we go out and lay flowers on the sea. It is for those who have perished in deep water. This year is special for me. I own 10 trawlers. One was lost last winter with 8 men. Having no wheels and being far from the nearest florist, we 2 Brits strolled out into the fields after breakfast and picked a bunch of wild flowers, which we lashed up with tarred marlin. When the boats put to sea at the top of the tide, we followed them under short canvas. With jib and main we had perfect control, and by keeping our staysail and topsail in their bags we didn't take off in our usual scalded cat imitation. As we passed through the tight cliff-lined entrance, a white-clad priest was leading a long procession up to the shrine of Notre Dame de la Garde, which overlooks the Narrows. They were carrying the effigy of Our Lady shoulder high and intoning a repeated prayer. Out at sea we cruised to and fro for a while, wondering what to do, until we noticed a modern trawler hove to a cable to seaward of the cliff-top shrine. Boats were slowly passing her port side, and we saw one toss a posy onto the sea. We tacked over and headed into the crowd. For a moment I wondered if we would find a way through the close-packed fishing boats, but as our towering rig approached they melted aside like snow, allowing us free passage to the trawler. Sailing by, 15 feet from her bulwarks, and casting our flowers in memory of our own drowned as well as theirs, we saw the curé, fully robed and standing on her fish hats, blessing the boats and blessing us too. A splash of holy water flickered across the blue sea, and then we were hardening up, leaning on the wind to clear the throng. As we cruised back to our berth, I reflected that at sea there are no English dead and Breton dead. Those who perish in the ocean are an international community. Islander or continental, in the final roll call, we are all one.